Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to, Lord willing, I'm going to complete our long series on answered prayer, but I, as far as I know, I'm going to complete it tonight, but yeah, I plan on doing it anyway. Matthew chapter 8, once you found your place, please stand, and I'll begin reading down in verse 23. Matthew 8:23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And we're speaking of Jesus, of course. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Exclamation point. Let's leave off reading there. Let's pray. Father, I pray for your help tonight. Lord, thank you for bringing us back safely. Thank you for this church and these precious people. God, help me to be a blessing to them and help them. And Lord, I pray you would meet with all of us. Start here in this pulpit, Lord. Continue to teach us and minister in our hearts how to pray and how to get answers, Father, to prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. We're talking about answers to prayer again. We've been through this chapter now from verse 1 all the way down now to verse 27. And it's been, I don't even know, don't ask me, I don't know how many weeks it's been because we've had other things going on in between. But we talked about, number one, adoration being included in our prayer lives, adoring God, worshiping the Lord, letting God know what He means to us, letting God know how special He is to us. And I don't think God hears enough of that from us. I really don't think God hears enough of that from His people, from His children. Now, you don't have to worship your parents, but when it comes to being a child of God, it's a whole other level. We should worship Him and adore Him and spend time telling Him how much we love Him. The Bible says with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And when I'm telling people about Jesus and witnessing and soul winning, I always use that verse, and I use this little illustration. I say, "Do you love your mama?" And I've never had anybody tell me, "No, I can't stand that woman." I've never had anybody tell me that. Now they may have lied to me, but I say, "Do you love your mama?" "Oh yes, preacher, I love my mama. I loves my mama." I say, "Well, then, do you tell her you love her?" "Sure, I do. Maybe not as much as I should, but sure, I do." And when I was talking, I spent all day Friday in jail, and I was talking to those guys, and I said the same thing to them, and they're all the same. "Yeah, sure, I love my mama." I said, "Do you tell her you love her?" "Yeah, I tell her." I said, "Why do you tell her?" "Because it's in here. If it's in here, it'll come out of here." Yeah. Amen. And you know, if we adore Christ, if we love the Lord, it'll come out of our mouth. Amen. It doesn't change for God. If it works for mama, it works for God. Amen. By the way, men, if it's in here, it'll come out. "Sweetheart, I love you." Let me just throw that in there. Ladies, you can pay me later. Amen. Okay. But we should adore our Savior. We should adore our Father. And that ought to be, when we go into His presence, that ought to be the first thing on our minds. It really should. I believe that, but I don't think it is. I don't want to forget that. I don't want to let that slip by the wayside. You may not have a whole lot of time to spend, maybe you're just, it's a quick prayer, it's a quick time of prayer, maybe, but there ought to be something like, "Dear God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for being..." I just like to tell God, "Thank you for being faithful." Amen. You know, because there ain't nobody that's faithful like God's faithful. Amen. Nobody. I mean, nobody can compare to my Savior and His faithfulness. And I just like to tell God, "Thank you. Thank you for who you are. If you never did another thing for me, thank you for just who you are. Thank you that you are so perfect and almighty and right. righteous and faithful. I tell you that and that just gets you in a spirit of worship, in a spirit of understanding that I'm not just in the presence of mama or daddy or Uncle Joe. I'm in the presence of an almighty and holy God.
Amen.
Because prayer is a different level. Prayer is a communication with God, and I know, but we don't want to dumb it down to the place where we're just, you know, demanding things from God.
Amen.
It shouldn't be like that. Adoration should be first. Then I said confession should be next. When we get alone with God and we begin to adore God, and really we begin to speak the things that really describe and define Him, we can't help but begin to understand and realize how woeful we are. How far from that holiness and righteousness that we are. Like Isaiah, that's the perfect example. Isaiah said, he saw the Lord lifted up high and mighty, and he heard the angels say, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord God of hosts, the whole earth is full of His glory." And then the next thing he said was, "Oh, woe is me. Woe is me." And boy, you know, It would help our attitudes and kind of get rid of our puffed up pride if we get alone with God and be honest about who we really are. You know, we don't have to. Let me say this as the Lord leads. Look at all this room I got up here now. I'm just trying this for now, okay? I don't know if I'm going to do this or not, because I'm still going to get right up here in front of you, so I don't know if... that's just the way I am, but I'll stay back here for now. We don't need to get down on our hands and our knees and drag ourselves through broken glass. Okay, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about where we need to sacrifice ourselves and we need to hurt and cut ourselves. That's paganism.
Yeah.
That's not Christianity. Christ has already done all that for us. Okay? Christ has already sacrificed Himself, and He is the end all, ultimate, last sacrifice for all sin. So we don't need to sacrifice ourselves and beat ourselves and drag ourselves up the steps and, you know, do all that kind of stuff that other religions do. But we do need to be honest with God, and when we come to God in prayer, we need to be honest with Him and really honest with ourselves as to who we really are and what we really deserve. Because that gets us in the right spirit, because when we enter into God's presence, He giveth grace to the humble and the lowly.
Right.
And He resisteth the proud.
Right.
So the things that when we start off with adoration, we're bringing ourselves down to where we belong as we elevate Him to where He belongs, and then we begin to confess our sins and realize, oh God, I have really failed You. And let me say this to you, excuse me. Don't be afraid to be specific when you confess your sins. As a matter of fact, I greatly encourage you to be specific.
Amen.
Right.
1 John 1:9, you'll have to turn there, says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now that word confessing means we acknowledge those sins for what they are.
Yeah.
It doesn't just mean, Lord, forgive me for all my sins. No, come on. No, come on. You might do that in public, which is fine. I don't expect you to do that in the prayer meeting with the other men or ladies. But when you're alone with God, get things straight with God.
Amen.
I mean, after all, He already knows.
Right?
He already knows. And I preached this already before. I'm trying to get to the last point here, like I said. But, however, the Holy Spirit's still in charge here.
Amen.
When you're alone with God... By the way, ladies, men, those of you who are married and have other people living in your home, that's why you need to get alone with God.
Right.
Okay, because you're not going to be able to do this when someone else is listening. You won't. But when you get alone with God, Jesus said, go into thy closet, and thy Father which is in secret, He hears thee in secret, and He rewards thee openly. There's a Father that is waiting for us in secret.
Amen.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There is a secret place where God is waiting for us.
Amen.
And there's a reason He says secret place, because we need to be dead level honest with God when it comes to our sins. Because 1 John 1:9 says, now let me explain to you something, boy. Oh, I'm just going to go with God here. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin, period, is death.
Right.
Not sins, plural. Okay? What that's talking about is my sin nature. The wages of sin. The fact that I'm a sinner by nature, the wages of all sin, whether it be a lie or a murder or something worse, all sin because of my nature is death. The wages of my nature is death. But if I confess my sins, those are specific things. You see the difference? You see the difference?
Amen.
We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What he does is, listen, you don't have to get saved again. By the way, confessing your sins has never been salvation.
Right.
That's false doctrine. That's false doctrine. Boy, I have a hard time getting that in through somebody's people's heads, especially people who aren't grounded in church, obviously. But the fact is, confessing your sin, I pray to God to forgive me every night. That don't save anybody. You have to repent of your sin toward God and then place your faith in Jesus Christ, because Christ is salvation in Him alone. Not just confessing your sin. But after I get saved, then I need to make it a very diligent practice habit to confess my sins unto Him, because those sins weigh me down.
Right.
And when the Bible says confess your sins, He's faithful and just. Why? Because Jesus has already forgiven you and you're already saved. So now in Christ, but you're confessing those sins. God is faithful. God is just to forgive you those and to cleanse you. What that means is He lifts that burden off of you.
A Christian
is rendered pretty much worthless when they walk around with that weight of sin on them all the day long. But I'm telling you, just saying, oh, God forgive me for all my sins, that doesn't do it.
Right.
I'm telling you from practice, but I'm also telling you from the Word of God, we confess our sins. Those are specific things that we've done.
Right.
And by the way, you ought to keep a very short record with God.
Amen. Right.
You ought to do this daily at least.
Right.
Because, you know, tomorrow and the next day, the next day, the next day, you don't forgot what you did 3 days ago.
Yep.
Keep a very short account with God.
Yeah.
Make it a daily thing. God, forgive me today for the things that I've done today. And by the way, God, I'm sorry that I did this and I did that. I should have never looked there. I should have never listened to that. I should have never said that. And be honest with God, because those things, you'll be amazed how, oh Lord, that it is literally cleansing of the soul.
Right.
Don't ever underestimate when God says He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He will do it.
Amen. Right. Amen.
And boy, it just lifts up that burden of your... You say, well, preacher, I just can't seem to go on. I'm so weighed down. Well, you need to be specific in your confession of sin. We're not talking about going to a booth at a... to a priest. We're talking about talking to God, okay?
Right.
Hey, you can trust God.
Amen.
Right.
He's not going to do anything but hear you and forgive you and cleanse you.
Amen.
Because when you're confessing, you're literally, you know what you're doing? You're agreeing with God that that was a sin.
Right.
You're not making excuses anymore. God, that I did was a sin, and I'm agreeing with you, God, and I'm sorry, God. Please forgive me, cleanse me. I don't want to do that anymore.
Amen.
And boy, it is liberating. I come out of my prayer closet like, hallelujah.
Amen.
Maybe not literally, but I feel like it sometimes. So I adore God, adoration. And then I confess my sins, specific sins. And then I spend time interceding for other people. And this is all review, so I better hurry up. I spend time praying for other people. I spend time praying for other people because, listen, once I confess my unworthiness and I realize how big He is, and I confess my unworthiness, then I begin to become more like Christ.
Right.
And what Christ does for us every day, He ever liveth to make intercession for us.
Amen.
You know what? God wants us to be like Christ, and part of that is the prayer life, that we develop the character of Christ through our prayer life. And that's a big part, is interceding for other people. People need us to pray for them. You know, I'll be honest. I don't mind if you pray for me.
Yeah.
Amen. You giggle, but really, I covet your prayers.
Amen.
And I give you my word that by God's grace, I pray for you daily.
Amen.
By name.
Amen.
Now, as our church grows, I have to get a list because I'm not any younger. I have to get names and so I don't forget. But the fact is, listen, we ought to spend time praying for each other.
Right.
Not just for lost souls, but for our brethren, our family.
Amen.
Our wives, our children. Well, wife. One wife. Our husband, our wife, our children. You understand? Well, that was bad. Anyway, I'm hurrying, but we got to intercede for other people. We ought to be known because, you know, people, I don't know how to explain this to you. There's lots of illustrations, but I don't have time. People know when somebody's praying for them.
Right.
They do.
Right.
I do.
Right.
When somebody's really praying for me, there's a certain power. I don't want to. It's not a weird feeling or anything. It's just, man, somebody will tell me I'm praying for you. You know, I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Right.
I want to be able to be on the other side of that too.
Yeah.
Say, I'm praying for you. Yeah, I know, preacher. I know it. I could feel it. I sense that somebody was praying for me. And I'm telling you, there's power in prayer. The power of all of heaven, all of God's power is contained in our prayer life.
Yeah.
We have access to it through prayer.
Amen.
And we ought to pray for other people. Amen. Intercede. Standing in the gap for other people. I hasten here. Next, I said, we also have to have submission in our prayer life. Submitting ourselves to the Word of God. Oh, my soul.
Amen.
As long as I'm fighting God in some area of my life, my prayer life is going to stink. Can I get a witness? No, don't say amen. I'm going to know it's you. But really, I say amen right there. I know it. That which is in us, in this old man, this old flesh nature, hates God, rebels against God daily.
Right. Yep.
And I as a Christian, as a child of God, I have to willfully and wantingly submit myself to God to be who I obey His Word.
Right.
But when I go to God in prayer, you know what happens is especially when I've already adored Him and I've confessed some things. Well, you say, preacher, we're confessing is submission. Not necessarily. I confess that I've sinned, but then God says, okay, that's wonderful. And then I begin to intercede for other people. And then God says, okay, that's great. We're having some sweet fellowship here. Now it's time for you to make right on this. Anybody ever been there? Okay, well, Lord, okay, well, I think I got to go to work now. Oh, Lord, I think my time's up. But see, that it will just cut your fellowship like that. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been there, but you're just on your knees, you're on your face, you're praying, and God's there, and you're weeping, because when God shows up in such power and pure presence, it's a cleansing. It just cleanses your whole soul, and boy, tears just begin to flow, and then all of a sudden God says, okay, now I want to deal with you about this. It's like, shoo. God, where'd you go? God, where'd you go? And I know where you went. Oh, no. Okay, I promise I'll get that right. I promise I'll submit. But that's part of it. Submitting ourselves to what God is. You're never going to grow until you begin to submit to something more than you did yesterday.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? And we submit to the Word, but we also submit to the will of God for our lives that comes from the Word of God. I'm hurrying here. And I think it was last time I talked about proper motivation. Oh boy. As I pray, I need to have proper motivation in my prayer. Why am I praying? Why am I praying? In other words, why am I praying for you? Why am I confessing my sin? Why am I interceding? Why? And they say, well, preacher, can you do all that for the wrong reasons? Oh, yeah. It's easy to do the right thing for the wrong reasons. When self is on the throne, that's the wrong reason. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That was the part of the model prayer that Jesus prayed to teaching his disciples. Thy will be done, Father. In other words, Lord, it ain't about me. It's about what you want to be done. I'm submitting myself to you, but my motivation is that your name will be glorified, that I will be... Listen, Jesus must increase, but I must...
Decrease.
Yep. Is that our motivation for prayer?
Well,
you can get really religious... for all the wrong reasons. By the way, religion is all about man trying to make themselves better in the eyes of God by their own works.
Right.
Prayer can become another work that we do to try to get favor with God so that we can get what we want. I mean, yes, very much so. Prayer becomes that very easily. Well, God, I've got to have this. Why do you need that? Well, because, God, don't you understand? It's going to make my life better. Well, what if I don't want you to have that? Then, God, then I'm just going to get angry. I'm just going to get shot. I'm just going to cry. God said, well, listen, you know, that's fine. You cry all you want to do, but your motivation is yourself, and that's not right. God loves us. God will take care of us. God says, the Heavenly Father knows you have need of such things before you ever even pray. I mean, he says, consider the lilies. They toil not, neither do they spin, but God, the Holy Father, clothes them with beauty. And then he knows every time one sparrow falls. So God knows what we need. We need to get busy praying for God's will to be done and God to sanctify and purify and empower me and fill me with the Holy Ghost so that I can win souls, so that I can love my wife, so I can train up my children, so I can be more faithful to God. Not anything to do with me, oh God. Lord, as far as I'm concerned, lead me down here. Just let Jesus increase through me.
Amen.
But see, prayer doesn't always end up like that. And you know as well as I do, prayer can very easily become a work that we do in our own strength, for our own advantage. God says, ask and you shall receive. Don't get me wrong, but God wants us to love Him and pray according to His glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, including prayer, do all to the glory of you. God. Including prayer. Now quickly, this is the last point. Now that I've preached all my time away. Okay, now we're getting down to Matthew 8:23. I want to talk to you the last thing that I think that I see in this chapter anyway. And this, hold on a minute. Now this may not settle real quick, but I think what I see here is a holy passion should be included in our prayer. Now, again, verse 23 says, when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, and so much the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. His disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. See, at this point in their lives, listen now, God got them to a place where they were completely dependent upon Jesus for their needs. For their own very life. For their next breath, really, or lest they were going to drown and die. Their prayer was this. Listen, their prayer was, Lord, if you don't come through here, we're done.
Amen. Right. Yep.
In other words, this was a heartfelt pouring out of themselves to their Lord for a need that they had. You say, well, you just talked about motivation a minute ago. Yes, I'm talking about motivation. But in this case, they weren't necessarily concerned about their luxuries. They were just pouring out their heart to God for everything that they had, knowing that they needed God more than anything else in this world. Many times prayer takes a back seat to my overtime. Well, God, I'll pray. But I get overtime. Okay, never mind. I don't need you so much. I got some overtime. Prayer takes a back seat to what this world offers us. Right. And boy, we get real passionate and about prayer until until something else better comes along. And listen, I'm telling you tonight, I'm going to give you some scripture and show you some other things, but have you ever wondered why Jesus just laid there sleeping? I mean, does that ever cross your... Does anybody ever think about things when they read their Bibles? I think you do. If you read your Bible, you got to... Those things got to cross your mind. Now, he was asleep. Now, wait a minute. Look at verse 24. There arose a great tempest. Wait a minute. The ship was covered with the waves. I mean, it was psh, and it was rocking and rolling. He's... You ever wondered why? Nobody else ever wondered that, right? So why'd he do that, preacher? Well, I wish I could just give you a great theological answer, but what I'm going to tell you tonight is... I believe simply it was because he wanted his men, his people, to get serious about needing him.
Yes.
I mean, after all, you remember there was another story where Peter walked on water and they were in another storm. And the Bible says Jesus came walking on the water in the fourth watch of the night. What's that mean, preacher? That means at the very last minute before dawn.
Yeah.
The last minute before dawn, right before the sun comes up and the waves kind of calm down and because by the way, light makes everything better, doesn't it? I can see now. I mean, you're out there in the pitch black, you're tossed to and fro, the waves are beating you to death. I mean, you don't have lanterns and LED flashlights on your head like you do. I mean, they're just out in the middle of the dark. And they can't really see what's going on. And Jesus come walking on the water on the fourth watch of the night. Why? Because he wanted to get to a place where they said, I don't care what I have, I need Jesus.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden your prayer gets a little bit more passionate. Passionate. Why was Jesus asleep? I believe it's the same reason he came walking the last watch of the night. Listen to me. They didn't whisper this prayer. Look at verse 25. They didn't say, Lord. They didn't say, Peter, will you go get Jesus? Yeah, shh. Lord, will you wake up, please? Save us. No! They said, Lord, we're dying!
Yeah.
I mean, I know you don't believe that. They were sanctified disciples. No, they were scared to death! That's in there. It's in there. Amen? It's in there somewhere. They were intense because they were in deep, desperate need. And I believe you could call this passion. You could call this fervor. You could call this complete devotion to one person. They were not caring about how much money they had. They didn't care about what time they were going to go to school tomorrow. They didn't care about what day they were going to get off. They wanted Jesus.
Amen.
And only Jesus.
Amen.
They were sold out to one person, Jesus.
Amen.
You could call this surrender.
Yep.
You know, we talk a lot about commitment. We need to commit to being faithful to God. Yes, we do, but we're never going to commit until we surrender.
Yep. Right. Give it.
All to Jesus, I surrender. All to who? Jesus. How much?
All.
All? Really?
All.
Really? In this case, all. All. Jesus, if you don't wake up, I'm dead. I mean, I don't know about you, but they weren't concerned about what was coming on TV. You know, the opposite of this passion, this zeal, would be indifference. I got to read the Bible again. Okay, Lord, thank you for loving me. Jesus saves. Amen. It's got real quiet all of a sudden. The opposite is indifference. Oh man, is it time for church again? Gotta go to church again? You mean we're gonna go to prayer meeting? Good night, man. We live at church. Well, that's a lot of zeal there. A lot of passion for God there. And oh boy, I can't wait, you know. Oh, look, I guess I better put my, you know. But that's the average Christian.
Yep. Right.
When's he going to stop? When, by the way, if you're looking at your clock every 5 minutes while I'm preaching, I'm talking to you.
Amen.
I'm talking to you.
That's right.
I'm really talking to you.
Amen.
Everybody okay still?
Amen.
I'm still glad to be back. Go with me to 2 Kings chapter 2. Well, you have to wake up because you got to turn some pages. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 2. Amen. Chapter 2 verse 11. Let me show you some prayers like this and some examples. 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 11. Amen. Everybody okay, right?
Amen.
Okay, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. It came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. Wow! And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Now, every one of us would wake up if that happened. And Elisha saw it in verse 12, and he cried, "My father, my father!" He's excited. The chariot of Israel and the horsemen, and he saw him no more. He took hold of his own clothes, he rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. And he went back and stood by the bank of Jordan, and he took the mantle in verse 14 of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?"
Come on.
I'm being a little bit facetious, okay. No, Elijah had just been taken up in a whirlwind after a chariot of fire came down and separated Elisha from Elijah. And he's gone. He said, "Oh, my father, my father." And wow, and then the mantle falls. And he says, "There it is, my mantle." He goes back to the Jordan. He says, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" That's what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Some zeal.
Amen.
Some fervor. Some passion.
Amen.
Some heart to see. You know, he said, "I want to see God like Elijah did.
Amen.
Lord, it's my time now. Let old faith, the saints of God have gone. Oh God, it's my generation. It's my turn, God. Where's God today?"
Amen.
Not how can I improve my life, or how can I make myself prettier? But where is God?
Amen.
We would have revival in a hurry.
Yep.
If we really got serious about prayer like that. Whew. I'm out of breath just demonstrating it. Amen. Praise God. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about some old-fashioned zeal.
Amen.
Turn to Psalm 61. Psalm 61. Don't pray for me. Can't breathe. I'm okay. I'll get some sleep tonight. Psalm 61, verse 1. "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer." Listen, when I'm crying out to God, it's not necessarily tears. It's just a passionate heart full of desire for God. Look at verse 2. "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee." What does that mean? It says, I don't care where I'm at. I don't care what time of day it is, O God. God, if I feel like you're distant from me, I got one thing on my heart. Oh God, do not forsake me. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Listen, he says, I've cried from the end of the earth. Now, if you lined up on the other end of the earth, you're going to have to shout pretty loud to hear me. Or for me to hear you. Now, God's everywhere, I know that. But the point is, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Notice, when my heart's overwhelmed. Those disciples' hearts were overwhelmed in that ship that night. Elisha's heart was overwhelmed. Oh God, I just saw your power. I just saw a whirlwind take Elijah. I just saw chariots of fire. And now I've got the mantle. Oh God, it's my turn. Oh God, from the ends of the earth, I cry out unto you. I'm overwhelmed, God. I don't know. I can't do this. I can't serve you. I can't make a difference. But oh God, if I have you, it will be worth it all.
Amen.
Amen. You know, we've got a whole lot of dead churches, man. I mean, just dead, dried up prunes of a church. God forbid that this ever get like that.
Amen.
But when you begin to practice this kind of prayer, and you get to church, and the preacher begins to preach this kind of message, it's going to boil up in your heart, and you're not going to be able to silence your mouth. You're going to shout. You're going to say amen, because you're on fire for God.
Amen.
I'm not trying to entertain you. This is straight out of the Bible.
Amen.
I mean, we ought to be excited about the power of God.
Amen.
We ought to be filled with the opportunity and the privilege it is to take the mantle that God has given us in our generation and do something for God.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Whew. Look in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 10. Now we read this. You can read this calmly if you want to. But I don't believe that the psalmist is praying calmly when he says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee." Oh, you see that? Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. What is his prayer? His prayer is not, oh, please let me have that car. It's, oh God, don't let me stray from thy commandments. Oh God, with my whole heart I surrender to thee. Let me never wander away.
Man,
you know, when we find ourselves drifting away from God and getting cold, that ought to be our heart's cry. God, I'm wandering away. Oh God, my whole heart, I need you back. More than my next breath, I need you, God. More than my next paycheck, I just need you, God. More than a raise or more than a facelift or I don't know what people are doing nowadays. Amen. I need God with my whole heart. There's nothing left when my whole heart's involved.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Look in verse 58 of the same chapter. I entreated thy favor. Now listen, To entreat thy favor with my whole heart. You know what that means? It simply means I'm begging you, God. I want to be right with you. That's all that means. Lord, I entreat it. To entreat means to beg, to ask for, to pray for. I entreated thy favor. God, I want to be right with you. Lord, I'm not as hot as I used to be. Lord, Lord, there was a time where I could pray, and now I'm not praying like I used to, God. There was a time, God, where your word was so alive to me, God. Oh, God, I'm entreating you with my whole heart. Let me be right again with you.
Amen.
I mean, when that's your heart, you're not just going to sit down and pray some little five-minute prayer. You're going to pour out your heart to God.
Amen.
Oh, God, give us praying Christians. God, give us some praying pulpits. Look in verse 145 of the same chapter. I cried with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, O Lord. I don't know about you, but there's times where I get alone with God and I say, oh God, where are you? I need you to hear me, God. God, don't leave me. I need you right now. Hear me, oh God. And the passion turns into tears because your whole heart is being poured out unto God. You're not trying to impress anybody. You're alone with God. And you're trying to say, oh God, I need you. I long for you, God. Don't leave me. Don't forsake me, God. Oh God, hear me with my whole heart. Look in Luke chapter 18. I don't have time to spend a whole lot of time on these, but look in Luke chapter 18. Oh God, help us tonight. Oh, how we need revival. Luke chapter 18. Two men. Verse 10. Luke 18, 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one was a Pharisee, the other a publican. The one was a dry, ritualistic, formal, cold-hearted. The other was a publican who knew he was worthless. Okay? The Pharisee stood in verse 11, stood and prayed thus. Notice with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Now notice the pride. Now, do you see any adoration there? God, I thank thee that I'm not like other men. Do you see any confession there? Do you see any adoration, confession? Do you see any intercession? He's praying with himself. God, I thank thee that I'm not like Samuel and Seth. And I'm not like Alyssa. I'm so thankful, God, that I'm not like Karina. God, I thank you that I'm so much better than they are. That's what he's saying. That I'm not extortioners. They're unjust. They're adulterers. Even as this publican. I fast. Notice that the subject, or the content, the object of his prayer is me. I fast twice in the week, Father. I give tithes of all that I possess. And I mean, what? I mean, good. That just makes me want to vomit.
Amen.
Just reading it.
Amen.
You don't get much more colder than that. That's everything opposed to everything I've preached in this message. But look, and the publican. Now, the publican is a tax collector. He's nobody. He's scum to the Pharisees. He's publican. He's worthless. But look, standing afar off, he's not going to get close. He would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven. The Bible says he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, Jesus is making a point here. That if we're not careful, our prayer life will become like the Pharisee. Lord, I'm so thankful that I don't do those things anymore. God, I'm so thankful that I'm so good now. The publican said, God, I'm worthless. God, you're merciful. And God, would you please be merciful to me? I'm a sinner. And the Bible says he smote his breast. You know what that means? There was some passion in that prayer. He said, oh God. God, I'm worthless. God, I don't deserve to be saved. Please forgive me, God. God, please use me. Whew, man. When's the last time you prayed like that? Jesus said, I tell you, now I didn't say this, Jesus said it. I tell you, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified.
Yeah.
You notice he didn't have a whole lot of theological big words. It ain't about that. He didn't have a whole lot of, probably a whole lot of Bible knowledge, but he knew God was merciful, God was his only hope, and he needed God more than he needed anything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. That means cut down to the ground. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And that's in your prayer life. When I get passionate about my prayer life, when I get zealous about my prayer life, I'm coming to the place like those disciples were that night. God, this storm is too much. God, if you don't wake up and help me, I'm going to die. God, these trials are overtaking me. They're overwhelming me, God. I don't want to stray from your commandments. I don't want to leave your side. Oh, God, don't leave me here tonight. Oh, God, help me. I'll take everything from me. God, just you don't leave. I need your presence.
Amen.
It wasn't for show either. It wasn't for show. I mean, they weren't concerned about the other apostles. They realized they were going to die.
Yeah.
And most people don't even realize that when they get saved. But you know, without Christ, there ain't nothing waiting you but hell.
That's right.
You're already condemned. You don't need another storm to come. You're already there. But Christ, but mercy, but grace, but the blood, but forgiveness, but God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and that ought to keep us. Oh God, I need more of you. We don't pray like this. Let's just be honest tonight. We don't pray like this. And I really think God is bringing America to the storm. Or dare I say, the storm to America. Whichever way you want to look at it.
Yeah.
And there's going to be some people who are going to respond like they should. God, this storm is more than I can take. I can't calm these winds. I can't stop this rain. God, evil is being poured out. And the Bible says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, not if, but when, the Spirit of God will lift up a banner.
Yeah.
That banner is grace. That banner is salvation. That banner is the power of God. But you know what we need to do? We need to realize that that banner is our only hope for salvation. For not the soul salvation, yes, we got that. But for our own families, for our marriages. Listen, evil is rampant, folks. Have you not noticed that? And this is what we need to do, is stop worrying about everything that everybody else is worried about and say, oh God, I need you. Our country needs you. My children need you. My marriage needs you. Oh God, if it's without you, Lord, I'm done. Because you are. Because I am. Our church needs God. Amen. Our bus routes need God. Amen. Our Sunday school teachers need God. Yes. Your preacher needs God. Amen. Brother Josh in that junior church, praise God, but he needs God. Those nursery workers, dear God, they really need God. Amen. We need God. More than we need anything else. God. The storm's coming. Right. It's already blowing pretty hard out there. Right. I don't know what's going to happen turn of 2017 when whoever takes office. Right. It's blowing pretty hard out there though. What are we praying for? To promote ourselves? God, help us. We need God's power, God's presence. And if we don't have anything else, God, take it all away. Lord, just be merciful to me. I need you, God. I need you. I need you, Father. When I wake up, God, I need you. When I'm going through my day, I need you, God. When I come home at night, oh God, I need you. I need to treat that woman right. I need to treat those children right. I need to love you, God. When I go to bed at night and pillow my head, oh God, I need you to fill me with your spirit so I can have a peaceful night's rest. I need you to protect my home. But Lord God, whatever, you can take it all. But Lord God, just don't leave me. Just don't take your presence away from me. I need you, God, right now in this storm. Please, God, please, God, please, God, wake up. Be here near me. Be near me, oh God. I mean, that's what I'm talking. I'm just talking about taking up that mantle and saying, God, they're gone. Yesterday's gone. God, I need you today. I need you today for that baby. I need you today, Bradley. My new life as a Christian. I need you today. That tooth is gone now, amen. I need Jesus. Amen. This little girl over here, I mean, she's sleeping now. But where's she going to be in 10 years? Yeah. Well, she needs Jesus. Yeah. What about Karina? What about Chris? What a pretty, beautiful young lady you are. Oh, that's such a pretty bow. But you need Jesus more than you need anything else. Yeah. Benny, Gina, Giselle, Samuel, me. Yeah. I need God. Yeah. Oh God, if I don't have you, I don't have anything.
That's right.
You can take it, God, but just don't leave. Don't leave. We said, I'm saved, preacher. I know all that. But do you know that you're in right fellowship and you are in favor and that you're perfectly right with God and everything's right where it should be? Tonight I dare say there are some of you who can't say that.
Yep.
And it's time to get serious about, oh God, nobody, nothing, nothing but you. That's what I need. You're all I need. God, don't leave me here. I've got more, but let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Many times, God has to get us to the end of ourselves in a storm, which I believe He's doing in America, before He can get glory out of our lives, before we'll surrender our way of life and be completely devoted to Him. Father, tonight, oh God, my heart is heavy, Lord. Lord, I can't raise my kids without your help. I can't pastor these people. without your help. Lord, I can't even walk without your help. I can't even breathe lest you give me, lend me breath. But I don't know what tomorrow holds. Oh God, but I know I need to hold your hand. Please, God, fill our hearts with the holy passion, a holy zeal, a holy fervor to take up our mantle and say, oh God, it's my turn. I need your help. I need your help. Take my life, Lord. Take my life and let it be completely, totally, God, consecrated unto Thee. Take my hands. Take my feet. Take my eyes, my ears, my lips. Lord, I give You my heart tonight, Lord. Lord, the evil's coming on strong. The enemy's coming in like a flood. Oh God. We don't need a new president, Lord. We need revival.
Yeah.
God, help us tonight. Oh God. Help us tonight. Let's all stand to our feet.